Jim, weeks ago we played a parody song that you wrote called Sticker Shock.
Last night I got some sticker shock. Went to buy a couple groceries, it cost $100. And even now, paper bags are costing me 15 cents. Cause of course, I forgot my cloth bags at home again. Oh baby, it was last night, a grocery trip. Paid for the chips but had to skip the dip. And at the self-checkout, I couldn't believe it when the screen asked for a 15% tip. Now I used to buy food I don't need, but since 2023, I can no longer afford almonds or cheese. Yeah, baby, last night I got some sticker shock. Went to buy some chicken, it was priced like filet mignon. I don't know what I can buy to make my stomach full. I guess for dinner I'll just be eating dry cereal.
Love the song. But I have to be honest, I know the price of everything's going up. I've complained about the price of individual items, but earlier in the week I was at the grocery store and it was the first time where I could not believe what the total was for the limited number of groceries that I was buying was.
Not good.
No. I got some liquid plumber to clean out the hair clogs from my wife's sink in our bedroom.
Not yours.
In her ensuite.
Yeah.
Yeah, not my hair clogs. Some avocados. I got some lunch meat, garbage bags for the kitchen, and that was basically it. It was close to $50.
Yeah, man. It's crazy. One hot tip, liquid plumber, that stuff, you can get at the dollar store for much cheaper. That is one tip, I will say.
Number two hot tip, you mentioned it in the song, you always forget the cloth bags or the reusable bags. Every time I go to the grocery store, I forget the bags.
Because not every time I go to the grocery store, I'm out going on a grocery run. I'm coming home from work
in, right,
or something. And yeah.
Life hack, buy garbage bags, open the box after you pay for it, and just put all your groceries in a garbage bag. Boom!
Yeah. In your face, Sobeys.
It's so true, though. You laugh so you don't cry. Everything is so expensive. It's wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, groceries, we just mentioned 10 minutes ago, rent has doubled. It's I'm reading articles, and they're saying Canada is about to go through a lost economic decade. That's not a good sign.
Gas prices, they're saying, going to go up 20% by the summer.
Yikes.
Look at this headline. The average person is spending $61 per month on streaming services. Remember when streaming services came along?
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, this is great. You pay $10 a month and you can watch every movie and TV show? This is way better than basic cable. Well, guess what? You can get cable for less than $61.
Yeah. We're getting up to $1,000 a year at that monthly price, almost.
$61 a month on streaming services. Unreal.
It is crazy. And, like, the good thing about radio is free. Yes, you have to listen to commercials, but you get it for free. It should be the same way, like, you used to be able to get 3 free channels on your TV, right? And
yeah,
it would be, like, it would be whatever local channel you would get. You would watch the shows for free. You'd see Hockey Night in Canada, but you would sit through some commercials.
You're welcome. Radio is still free.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this show, you may be thinking, well, I get what I pay for, I guess.
I'm still getting ripped off.
I was expecting something different when I saw this this headline. Watch Elon Musk's Neuralink guinea pig play computer chess with his brain.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was an actual guinea pig.
Oh, now that would be next level for the brain chip.
Implanted. Well, because that's the term guinea pig. That's what they used to do all the tests on, right?
It comes from somewhere, of course.
Yeah, it's the guinea pig. So I thought they put a Neuralink in an actual guinea pig. And now this thing had become, like, I was picturing a guinea pig in front of a chessboard, actually, like, X-Men style, moving the chess pieces with their brain.
Yeah, putting his little paw up to his temple.
It's a guy, though. Still impressive. He's not playing with a chessboard. He's playing with a computerized version of chess. But he's making the moves just
Thank
by
God.
Thinking
Imagine
about it.
Imagine he was telekinesis. He could move them with his mind physically. That is crazy. This has been kind of a certain degree of this has been happening for almost 10 years now, where it like, because all it is your brain is just electrical inputs, basically. So people have been able to move things on a screen before, word processors, but I haven't seen chess before.
How much leniency do you give the guy that you're playing if he's just using his brain? If he tells you, I didn't mean to
like a misclick?
Move it there. Yeah, I didn't mean to move it there. That was an accident. You know, this Neuralink thing, it's kind of new. Put that on the list for Elon to fix.
I should say blame Elon.
Sorry, bud.
Sorry, I'm taking your rook.
You take your hand off the piece. It's on the board. Yeah, a guy playing chess with his brain.
How long until these guys are cheating, though? Because it's only one step more where the computer is making the decisions for you.
I'd like to get one of these Neuralinks just to go to the casino.
Oh, count cards for you.
Yes. How are they going to stop that?
I mean, I don't think they can.
Where do I volunteer?
Blackjack would be sick. That's the number one counting cards game.
Blackjack would be huge.
Sure, sure. Even poker, even just keeping track of the stuff that's been out there.
You can have an advantage. I wonder if casinos are already working on countermeasures for these brain chips.
Like, cause specifically chess, too. People are putting stuff up there where the sun don't shine so they can cheat with the help of a computer. So
that's
there's
right.
not, like, if they're willing to go to that step, how do you stop their brain from accessing Wi-Fi and then getting the commands sent to them?
Other than a little scar, how would you know someone has a Neuralink chip in their head? I like it. I'm going to sign up.
The world is changing.
I want to be on the front line of this so I can make millions playing blackjack before the casinos figure out how to stop me.
Yeah. Then halfway through the game, there's a software update. You just fall off the chair.
Norm. On the 401, the 401, just a typical day on the 401. You never know in Ontario what you see on the 401. Nothing's worse than being stuck on the 401 during rush hour traffic through Toronto. Well, some good news. The 407 is running a promotion offering free rush hour access. In a statement, they say that as certain drivers on the roadway will be able to drive for free Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. till 9:30 a.m. and 3 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. during April and June.
Who gets to?
Certain customers. Certain drivers. Now, they haven't said how you can get selected for this yet.
Is this so a fun mystery?
Stay tuned. Well, maybe they're in the early stages of planning the promotion, but they are doing something where they're giving away free access, which would be sweet. However, it's like if you're shopping for a house, they say never go walk through a house that is out of your price range.
Because it makes everything else look terrible?
Yeah, because then you're going to want the nicer house. Or it's like how they say, don't do heroin the first time.
Yeah, so never start.
Because it's
then
so
your
addictive.
Happiness can never get that
drug
to that
dealers,
level.
They give you the first hit for free, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You start cruising down the 407, driving 120 during rush hour. How the heck are you going back to the 401?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's like getting your 7-day membership for Disney Plus. Oh, I'll cancel it. No, you won't. On the 401, the 401, just a typical day on the 401. You never know in Ontario what you see on the 401.
Time for sports. We are joined by Devin Peacock, our sports guy. The biggest name in baseball, Shohei Ohtani, involved in a gambling scandal. What's going on?
Very unusual story. So what happened is there was a story by the Los Angeles Times and ESPN that was looking into the interpreter for Shohei Ohtani, who, according to the stories, has a massive gambling problem to the point where he owes $4.5 million to an illegal bookie in California. betting on sports is not allowed, is not legal in California. It's legal in many other states in the U.S., but not in California. So Major League Baseball has rules that state players, employees can bet on sports, but not on baseball, but it must be with legal betting outfits. The person in question is illegal, and his interpreter has apparently racked up at one point $1 million that went up to $4.5 million. He's given two different stories as to what's going on here. The first story was that he had racked up a bunch of debts. He asked Otani, who they are very close because they apparently do everything together.
Well, yes, he's his translator.
Every time he's in America, I'm sure they're attached at the hip.
They wherever they go, like they are, they've been described as like brothers, like a brotherhood. They hang out all the time, and so he, in the initial story, said that he asked Otani to help him cover some of his gambling debts, and there are wired transfers with Shohei Ohtani's name on them to this bookie, amounting up to $500,000. The story then changed that Ohtani had no information that this money had been transferred and that he was the victim of a massive theft, and the interpreter was fired by the LA Dodgers on Wednesday. So right now, technically the Major League Baseball season has begun. They're in South Korea right now, the Dodgers are, and the interpreter was in the dugout, not in the dugout today.
I wonder if this would have happened if he moved to Toronto. We can gamble here, right?
You can.
Well,
have you watched a baseball game? Every second ad for a gambling site.
I maybe that's true because I've heard like people are close. Like even brothers have ripped their brother off when they run their money. Like certain comedians, a lot of celebrities, their family will rip them off. So that's possible that happened. But
yeah,
it also sounds
Billy Joel's brother-in-law famously took him for everything he had.
Dane Cook's brother.
That's
Dane
what I was
Cook,
thinking. Dane
yeah,
Cook.
As well.
Yes. So that's possible. But the wire transfer. It seems like maybe they could be in cahoots. Maybe. I'm not saying he's guilty, but it just seems suspicious.
You're not saying that Ohtani was involved in the gambling, but it is possible that Ohtani said, okay,
let me cover the debt.
You effed up. I'm going to bail you out this one time, but after this, we're done.
So they asked, cause so he sat down for a 90-minute interview.
And nobody could tell what anyone was saying.
Where's my guy?
No, the interpreter.
He's in jail.
The interpreter sat down for a 90-minute interview with ESPN, and they asked him, why didn't Ohtani just give you the money to pay the bookie so that his name would not be included on this? His answer was, Ohtani doesn't trust me with the money.
Oh, he thinks he's going to double down.
Yeah, he'd give him the money, he'd go gamble more, thinking he's going to make more.
This is just like the TV show The Gentleman I'm watching right now. The brother owes the gang $4 million, and he's tails all his time.
But then he changed the story on Wednesday, saying that Ohtani had no knowledge of this whatsoever after Ohtani's lawyers got in on this, and they thought, hold on a second.
Yeah.
We've got a $700 million cash cow here who we don't want to get in any sort of trouble. I'm not saying Ohtani's involved, but it's a very unusual story. The other interesting part about this whole story is the interpreter makes like $300,000 to $500,000 a year.
What a gig.
So I am going to go learn Japanese tomorrow and become Ohtani's new interpreter.
And just do your sports betting legally in Canada,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Thanks, Deb.
Caw-caw.
Hey, we want to offer our condolences to friends and family of a London, Ontario woman who was killed in Mexico. It sounded like she had a great setup down there. She was living in a smaller town where she owned the Firefly Cinema and Karaoke Bar. Isn't that a dream to retire down in Mexico and open a karaoke bar?
Oh, that's what people say all the time.
Amazing. Unfortunately, her and her dogs were driving back to Canada, and she was robbed roadside and killed.
Jeez.
They're investigating. They found one of her dogs. Residents in the area are now looking for her other two dogs. It's got to be very tough for friends and family. Again, condolences. More and more Canadians are doing this. They're moving down to Mexico in hopes of getting a little more bang for their buck.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy the sunshine, avoid the winters.
Yeah.
And one of my buddies, a guy I used to work with in Kingston, Ontario, his name's Jeff Falcon. He sold everything he owns and he moved down there. I just sent him a text, said, hey, can we call you and talk about what it's like to live in Mexico as a Canadian. He said, sure. So let's see if we can get him on the line.
What's going on, bud?
How are you, Jeff Falcon?
Living the dream, kid. Living the dream.
You're live on the air with Taz and Jim.
Hey, what's going on, Big Jimbo?
Hey, buddy.
I have no idea who you are, but hey, what's going on, bud?
Hey, nothing. Taz says good things about you, so glad to meet you over the phone.
When did you move to Mexico? You sold everything you owned in Kingston, Ontario, and moved to Mexico.
100% we did. My wife and I did everything 18 months ago, so September 2023.
Yeah, why did you decide to leave Canada?
Well, do you have 2 hours to talk about how I can't swear? That's right, we're live on air. Well, we just decided that we didn't like the direction in which our leader is going in our beautiful country, so we just said screw it. And
so, were you one of the guys with the flags on his truck, and you actually went and did it?
I you know what? I was not, but I actually did go to the trucker's convoy.
Okay,
I was there. Yeah, I was there.
So you sold everything you own. Where in Mexico are you living?
Playa del Carmen. Beautiful city. Right, we own a condo, 15-minute walk to the beach.
And what's it like down there in terms of safety? Obviously, you've heard this tragic story about the woman from London, Ontario, who had moved down to Mexico. She was driving back to Canada when she was robbed roadside and ended up being shot and killed.
I did not hear the story, just briefly this morning, but as far as Playa del Carmen, my wife and I have not encountered any serious issues. Now, there has been a couple shootings here, but it's all cartel-related, cartel shooting cartel.
Aren't you worried about getting caught up in that, though, being catching a stray bullet, Falcon?
Ow, my eyeball.
Yeah, what if you got one in the good eye, bud?
I know. You know what, Taz, Jill, it's never really crossed my mind. I mean, I have 3 kids that are all in their 20s, and the biggest thing I taught them in life is I would be aware of the surroundings. So, I mean, for the most part, they think you're tourists, or even though we live here, we're temporary residents, but we are cautious, but it's just the same living here that is living anywhere else in the world.
Can you own a gun in Mexico? Like, do you, like, how does it work? How's society down there? Like, can you protect yourself in that way?
You know what? I have no idea. I'm not a big gun guy. You're not allowed to own any guns, that I would say. I mean, there's police here everywhere. I mean, the municipal police and the National Guard, there are police. The popo are everywhere in Mexico, my man.
Are you worried you're going to get too comfortable, Jeff? You seem to feel very secure down there, but is there a chance you can get too comfortable and then find trouble that way?
I don't think so. Like, I mean, I'm at that age now where I'm not going out downtown, Playa del Carmen at 3 o'clock in the morning to the nightclubs. I call myself a day walker. We do lots of stuff during the day. We like to have day cocktails, day golfing. You know, I'm in bed at 8 o'clock and I'm up at 5 o'clock every morning. You know, it's being comfortable. Yes, I'm comfortable wherever I am. It's safe here. And I don't know why people wouldn't make the jump here.
What's your house like that you moved to? Like, what's the difference between your house in Canada and your house in Mexico?
We live in a condo. We paid $110,000 for it. It's 3 floors. We have our own private little rooftop with our own little pool, barbecue, bathroom, outdoor shower, plus there is a communal pool on the top of the roof. Now, this condo is now worth probably about $250 US.
Attaboy.
So it's a gorgeous condo.
Well, you stay safe down there in Mexico, Jeff. And
you don't worry about me, Taz. Jim, you take care of my boy for me, eh, bud?
Well, we're waiting for our invite.
Yeah, well, we were hoping maybe spring break 2025.
Hey, me casa, su casa. The door is always open, man.
Wow, you're picking up the language. Jim, are we going to have to build cottages in rural Manitoba?
I think it's time.
You look at what it costs to buy a house in the Taz and Jim listening area, what it costs to rent an apartment. Hey, what were you paying before you moved into your house? What were you paying for rent for a one bedroom?
Oh, dude, the glory days, $900. That was all in with underground parking. It would be at least double that now, probably.
Yeah, for sure. It's tough to get into a nice place for less than $1,800 a month, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're renting? Well, if you're a young person looking to get into the housing market, good news is you got a really a sweet deal going on right now. Bad news is you're moving to rural Manitoba. So they are offering properties in a community out there for $10.
Mm-hmm.
$10, you get your own property in Manitoba. Now, there is a catch. You have to be a young person under the age of 35, and you need to build a house really quick.
Yeah, yeah. You got to develop the land.
You put down a $1,000 deposit, and then if you have a habitable residence on the lot within 15 months from putting down the deposit, they're going to give you $990 back.
It sounds like a sweet deal. There's
I'm like, it's $10 for a lot.
Yes, but it's $10 for a reason. It's supply and demand. Nobody wants to live there. It's specifically right. 300 kilometers west of Winnipeg, the middle of nowhere. You have to have a very particular lifestyle. Like, you have to be a tradesman or a farmer or something.
You got to be able to build your own house, basically.
Yeah, or when you move there, you have to find employment. And if you're in the middle of nowhere, there's only a certain amount of jobs that you can do. So it's certainly, you can't just move from Toronto and be a, you know, whatever you were in Toronto and just transplant to Manitoba. Unless you do remote.
Yeah, work from home. Work from your $10 home in Manitoba. Instead of your $10 million home in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a great deal. And the more people that take advantage of it, the less you're going to be in the middle of nowhere.
That's
because
true.
There'll be more people with you.
Mm-hmm.
It seems almost too good to be true.
Let's do it. Let's invest. I'll front $5. You front the other five.
You want to be partners on this
thing? How good does this house have to be?
That's the other question. It has to be a habitable residence.
So you probably have to pour a foundation. Or can I just, like, bring a tiny home and just prop it up for, you know, $40,000 on that land?
Drag it onto the lot with a pickup truck.
Yeah, get it delivered, assemble it, whatever.
We got to look into this, but it seems like a pretty sweet deal. Move to rural Manitoba and get some land for only $10. Mm. Sorry. My throat's a little dry. I just had to drink some cold water here. Jim.
Okay.
Can you fill some time? There was a story you wanted to talk about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just to keep drinking there. Just one story here. Rochester, New York issues boiled water advisory after dead body found in drinking water reservoir.
What?
Why are you drinking that New York water, dude? Yeah, this is a real story.
This is bottled in Rochester.
Oh, no. That's why you always go for the Rocky Mountain spring water, man. No, this is actually a real story.
It's
actually
so
terrifying.
Gross.
This happened on Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. The police found a dead body floating in Rochester, New York's drinkable water reservoir, which is like kind of hard to get to. It's gated off. There's a bunch of fences and stuff like that. It's obviously the water used for showering and drinking. The scuba team discovered the body, recovered it. No word on how long it was in there for. They don't know if it was a suicide or if it was a murder and a disposal of the body, because it is actually difficult to kind of get in there. So they closed schools because of the water issues. Parts of the city were closed down. I think maybe they have, as of like an hour ago, potentially lifted the boiled water advisory. However, I would probably boil it for another week or so,
just
in case.
Be safe. You're walking around thinking you see the people with the big jugs of water, your Nalvage or whatever.
The Stanley mug.
Your big water jug.
Nalgene.
Your Nalgene. Your
8 cups a day.
You're sipping on your Stanley straw. So trendy. Then you hear this news. It's like that, what was the movie where... There was the woman, it was in Los Angeles, she was staying at a hotel and she went missing and no one could find her. And then the water turned brown coming out of the taps in the hotel.
Yeah, she was like a Japanese exchange student or something.
Right.
And her sister couldn't find her.
Yeah, and then they looked in the water tower up on top of the building and she had fallen in there and everyone was drinking dead body water for like 2 weeks. Yeah.
And they kept on saying, hey, our water is brown that's coming out of the tap in the bathroom. You think something's up? Oh, that's probably just rust. Now, it's less bad in New York because there's 150 million liters of water.
Right.
It's kind of like somebody pees into the lake and you're like, I'm not swimming in there.
Yeah.
Like, but still, I would not be comfortable drinking that water.
No.
Right now.
Nobody wants dead body water.
No.
So gross. What am I going to do? Where am I going to dump this out now?
I don't want
any water.
I think that came from the Great Lakes for now.
Until I forget about this story.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.